the opposition against the Ramchal actually escalated and sort of like took a life on its own, which means that the Rabbonim of Venice, which they were the strongest opponents against the Ramchal, being that we're talking here in Italy. Ramchal lived in Padua, in Venice, which is very close. That it escalated even against the Rebbe Ramchal, who was a recognized God Lador, Rav Shaya Bosson, as we mentioned many, many times. And the fact is, because they saw that their power is being weakened against Ramchal, the fact that Ramchal has support in such a great man like Rav Shaya Bosson, who stood by the side of his Talmud, and he vouched for him, and he protected him. As a matter of fact, if we might remember that the only reason that they did not confiscate the manuscripts and the writings of Ramchal, which they had banned, is because it was entrusted into the hands of Rabbi Shaya Bosson that he will have it under his jurisdiction and will not give them out. However, they now began to accuse Rabbi Shaya Bosson that he's not keeping his side of the commitment, and in fact that he returned those manuscripts to Ramchal. And that again, of course, started again a lot of confusion, and it escalated in a very, very serious way. Shaya Bosson actually did not sit back, but rather he wrote a strong letter, a powerful letter, to a Godel, another Godel in Germany, by the name of Rav Baruch Kahana Rappaport. They're called mostly Rappaport's are Kohanim. This Rav's name was Kohan as well, Rav Baruch Kahana Rappaport, was a rabbi of Fürth in Germany. And he was one of the great Rabbonim of Ashkenaz, great Rabbonim of Germany at the time. And he stepped out of character because by nature, Shai Bosson is a very, very calm person, a very type of a quiet type of a person. But here, this situation really went out, completely out of the realm, and the Rav Shaya Bosson felt that he can't just sit back, and he really took charge very strongly, started writing letters in terms of trying to expose the unjust that is being taken and being done by the Rabbonim of Venice. And a matter of fact, he pours in his letter literally fire and brimstone against the Rabbonim of Venice, and he mentions a number of names. It's important in that letter because it's not very clear or not easy to find out exactly the names of all the various Rabbonim of Venice that we're talking about here in the early 1700s. So he mentions one of them was the name of Rabbi Yaakov Belalios. Belalios, it's an Italian name. They were telling the Rabbonim, that's the name. The other one was a name of Rabbi Yitzchak Pacifico, again. And the other one was Rabbi Shlomo Zalman of Lvov of Lemberg. In other words, this particular Shlomo Zalman, he actually claimed that he came from Lemberg, from Poland, and he settled in Italy, and he became one of the Rabbonim in Venice. So Rabbi Shai Bosson actually, he taxed these three, Rabbi Yanke Belalios, and Rabbi Yitzchak Pacifico, and the mention of Shlomo Zalman of Lvov, and he says to them, clearly he writes in the letter, that everything that they are saying is sheker. He did not mince any words. Whatever that they are saying is totally lies, fabrications, and so on. He writes very, very poetic, which is not here the purpose to point out, but very beautiful, flowery language, which that was the style of the writing in those days, and you had to have the ability to do that, by the way. The Chedah always wrote like that, with a very flowery, he used various psukim and basically intertwined it with euphemisms or sometimes play on words. Just to give you an example, for example, the Chizod on the way, when in his many travels, when he was traveling in Germany, happened to be in Germany, was traveling to visit the Pnei Yeshua, so he's on the way to Frankfurt. So on the way to Frankfurt, he writes in his diary that all of a sudden he was hit with a tremendous headache. To the point, he said, that was like unbearable. Chido's name, one of the names was Yosef. Chido's, of course, was Shetevis Chaim Yosef David Azulai. His name was Yosef. He wanted to write, express himself, how strong. I said, it was strong, a headache it was, that it was unbearable. He writes, V'leyochel Yosef lehisapik. You know, which is a pasuk, of course, in Pais of the Yigash, when Yosef could not hold back from not revealing himself to his brothers. V'leyochel Yosef lehisapik, and so on and so forth. Many of those. In any case, so He writes and he says that, first of all, he says, Yaakov Belelios, he says, Rechiach Soifat Chilosoi. Right from the beginning, everything you can see, at the beginning he appeared to be innocent, but at the end, we really find out, we see what actually what he was. And he writes, Shekom Achshav Lias Eid Chomos, Adkerikach. He calls him an Eid Chomos. That's one of the psukim that the Torah writes about some of the apostolates, because he cannot trust it. Because he's a person who basically, for money, he'll say anything, and you can hire him out, you know, you can hire out witnesses, and for money, they will be able to bend the truth. So he's an Eid Chomos. And he says, Aloshin, V'cham HaShemesh V'nomesh, that's a grime. In other words, he says, under the heat of the sun, this guy's going to melt, he says, and so on and so forth. And he said, he found King Musa B'Tzalmo, he found somebody who was like a peer, just like him, equal to him, and who is that? He mentioned Rabbi Yitzchak Pacifico. Now, to realize, Rabbi Yitzchak Pacifico was really one of the great Rabbanim of Venice. It takes a real Adam Gadol to be able to write these kind of Lashonis on a person like Rabbi Yitzchak Pacifico. We already mentioned that the Yerachayim HaKodesh, right? The first printing of the Yerachayim was in Venice, and who did he take his Skomba from? Rabbi Yitzchak Pacifico. The Yerachayim takes his Skomba from Rabbi Yitzchak Pacifico, and here we have Avshai Basson writing about him. It's like an Eid Chomos, like this Rabbi Yanke Belelios. The same idea, puts them in the same package. And he says, regarding Belelios, he says, Lav Ihuya, he's no good, his reputation is no good. And he says, I'm going to tell you more about him. Interesting thing, he must have went all out. He says, Eino Ela Hevel Nidof. It's like dust, it's Marishkeit, and it's being blown away. He says, the last 3 years he was pursuing a Rabbonis of Mavorno, he writes. He was running after Acher Hasrora Rodaf. He was running after Srora to fight to have a high position. At the end of the day, it didn't work, and he came and so forth, tried to fight his way in order that he should be hired to be as a Rod, and so on and so forth. And then he says, we find Motzen Minas Mino, you find one kind, you know, is attracted to a similar in kind. So he talks about this person, he says, Ish Nevo. Reb Zalman Melevuv. Again, it's sort of a rhyme. Reb Zalman Melevuv, he says, the truth is, he says, you know what I did for this man? You know what I did for this man? This is again Reb Shai Basson writing to a Balkan Rapoport about Reb Shlomo Zalman Melevuv. Again, was one of the Rabbon of Venice. He says, weeks and months, he says, I hosted this man when he was a nobody, before he became a Rav in Venice. I gave him food. He said, a whole year I hosted him. And look what happened. Completely overturned, and so on and so forth. And this is the way, as he goes on really to express himself, you can see the hurt. And he says, the problem is that it was Reb Shlomo Zalman of Lvov who was really the one who broke the false rumor that I have returned the manuscripts and broke the commitment and I returned the manuscripts to the Ramchal, which is not true. You know what I say about him? Yutzak bepiv oiferes v'sachas. Hot lead should be poured into his mouth, because the mouth that speaks such an untruth and causes such machloikis, you can just have an idea what type of the feelings in the Hagosha that was taking place. And then another thing he points out, and I want you to know one of the real reasons, he says, that now that fanned the flames of the machlokes, and actually he quotes something that we mentioned. He writes, because there was the sefer of Reb Yehuda Aryeh of Modena. The Aryeh of Modena wrote a sefer called Shagas Aryeh, the roar of the lion. His name was Aryeh, Reb Yehuda Aryeh. Right? We mentioned him as an Olam Gol, a great scholar, but very controversial person. And he wrote a whole sefer against Kabbalah, against all teachings of Kabbalah. So writes Reb Yishai Basson, this man, Reb Yehuda Aryeh of Medina, who wrote a whole sefer, he called it Shagas Aryeh, Lishra Le More, that Rabbi Shalom to forgive him for what he wrote in the sefer. And he said, Hagoyin HaKodesh, Moiri V'Rabi, the Holy Goyin, my Rebbe, who is his Rebbe of Reb Shai Basson, this Ramchal's Rebbe's Rebbe? He said, Ramoshe Zakutho. Ramoshe Zakutho was one of the greatest Baal Mekubalim. He called the sefer Koil Sochol, the voice of the foolish, of a fool. Lefi, she called Atzmoy Lahakhish Chochmos Emes, because if you're against the truth, you're a fool. And Kabbalah is Chochmos Emes. If you're trying to deny the truth, what the opposite of Emes? Foolish. So Meli says it's a Koil Sochol, because the whole purpose of the sefer was Lahakhish Chochmos Emes, and so on and so forth, to deny the truth. So what happened? He says, Moshe Chaim Lusato, therefore came along to Ramchal, Bikinoi Kines Hashem. He wanted to take up for the honor of Hashem, and he wrote a whole sefer to defend Kabbalah and to destroy all the arguments of Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh of Modena, what he wrote in the sefer. The Shovah Kol Tamis HaSefer. He broke, Moshe Chaim Lusato, the Ramchal broke all the tainus. He destroyed all the tainus, he says. Kamoitz Ashetitzenu Ruach. He blew it away, he says, like when a wind comes, the blows the chaff away from the wheat, you know. So, this just the same way, simply just blew him away completely. And therefore, he wrote this sefer. So he points out, he says, I want to tell you the truth. He says, I didn't want to give him a skoma on the sefer, like we mentioned, because I knew, says Rabbi Shai Bosson, that when this sefer will be published, if anything else, it'll ignite even more, he says, and bring out the anger of the Rabbonim of Venice. Computer Alim Medina was in the 1600s, going back many years earlier, and he was one of the main Rabbonim of Venice. Here comes when Machal is writing a sefer against Rabbi Alim Medina, and new troubles is going to appear on the horizon. So he writes the following, he says, it's 2 years I held him back from publishing the sefer. It's actually, it says, 2 years ikavtiv, I held him back, because I saw what's going to be the outcome if he publishes the sefer. If Ramchal publishes the sefer against Rabbi Aryeh, I know what's going to happen. The Rabbanim of Venice again are going to be on top of it. He says, however, he says, avosoyv kosoyv achre reiv hasoris, he just begged me and begged me. Ramchal says, I'm ready to take all the punishment. I want the truth to come out. I have to defend Kabbalah. So achre reiv hasoris dante, I came to the decision, I can't push him aside anymore. I gave him the rishus to do that. And he said, I gave Maskoma, also his shver, the father-in-law of Ramchal, was also a great guy in the Balmum Kubel, with David Pinsi. For Pinsi was, at that time, was the Rav of Mantova. He also, and then he says, who else gave him Maskoma? One of the greatest Balmum Kubelim of our time, Echochem HaMakubel, the name is Aviad Tsar Sholem. You might remember where that phrase is in the Zemiris, you know, that we sing by Shalashudis. It's Aviad Tsar Sholem. It's actually the name of a person. It's the name of a person, great Baal Mekubal, Aviad, his name was Aviad Tsar Sholem. He himself was the Rosh Yeshiva in Mantova. This Kedai, to let you know a little about him, he was one of the great Baal Mekubalim, but he was, so to speak, he came a little bit later. Because the early parts of his life, he was given a different type of a chinuch, and therefore he was an Odom Godel. He studied all the different disciplines. He was a Bokim mathematics, he was a Bokim philosophy, and he was born in 1680, this Aviad Tsar Sholem, and he became a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Brill. Yehuda Brill was again one of the most recognized Rabbonim in Italy at the time, Yehuda Brill, and also became very close to the Pachad Yitzchok. We mentioned Yitzchok Lamprunti, who wrote the encyclopedic work of Pachad Yitzchok, and he writes himself in a sefer. Rabbi Aviad Tsar Sholem writes in a sefer, Kol HaChokhmos, says, all the disciplines that I mastered everything in 10 years. Everything. It took 10 years, but I mastered everything. But Chokhmos HaTalmud, he says, I can live a lifetime and still not master it, he says. That's how superior it is, he says, the Chokhmos HaTalmud. He says, now you see, Gamzakanti, V'yogati, and I really learned, and I studied, when Matzosi Kim Shemetz Menehu. I only covered with this like a crumb of what there is to learn when it comes to these situations. So, this idea, at the age of 42, that's when he started studying Kabbalah. Kabbalah, basically, the according to the Messiah of the Arizal, and he became known as one of the greatest Balam Kabbalim. And he himself was a strong supporter of the Ramchal. So Kaponim, this again is just a little bit of an indication of the situation of what was going on at the time, and the Mezah Hashem to be continued. So let's take a look, Rabbi Yisai, here at the Derech Hashem. Let's look at the Sefer. Open up your Sefer. It's in the edition that you have. It's on Daf Mem Dalud, in the second line. It's actually Namshu we left off last week. Okay, Daf Mem Dalud. It's on the second line, Vizeh. That's at the end of the second line. The word Vizeh, Daf Mem Dalud. Vizeh Ki Abayu is Baruch Shemoy. Okay, the Ramchal basically is, in this segment, is going to try to explain how the physical world can be used to man's advantage. The Ramchal already pointed out, he says that the body, in relation to the neshama, is considered a world of darkness, a world of choshech. The neshama feels itself as if it's in prison. Because why? Because they're totally diametrically opposed. The neshama is kula spiritual, kula ruchnius, and the guf is just the opposite. However, says Ramchal, the Kadosh Baruch Hu put them both together. Kadosh Baruch Hu put the neshama and the guf together, and therefore, the idea is that the neshama should be able to shine in kedusha and holiness into the physical body. And now Ramchal goes on to explain how the physical world can be used to man's advantage. And he says, Vizeh. Because you have to realize, Ki Abayu is Baruch Shemoi, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, Son, Givulois, Uzdorim, Uyodom. Because Baruch Hu, basically, he placed limits and procedures upon man. In other words, you don't have a life of hefkeres. Because Baruch Hu put you in this world, but because Baruch Hu assigned, he assigned and he placed limits, gvulos are limits, uzdon and procedures upon man. But we'll soon see what are the limits and what are the procedures. Well, coming up a little bit later, the Derech Hashem, the Ramchal explains that the limits are referring to the negative mitzvahs, which you're not allowed to do, all the mitzvahs lois to say. And the procedures are the positive mitzvahs. These are the mitzvahs I say. So Kodesh Baruch understood, in order for you to be able to survive in this world as a spiritual human being, therefore I have to give you, right? I have to give you a book of instructions. I have to give you a way that you'll be able to have tools. With these tools to be able to survive in this physical world and yet not to be drowned in this world of physicality. So therefore Kodesh Baruch he placed limits, gevulos, and he placed procedures. The limits again are all the mitzvahs lois to say. These are the negative mitzvahs, which you're not allowed to do. And the procedures are the mitzvahs asay. As he said, these tools, these mitzvahs, the negative mitzvahs and the positive mitzvahs, these are betashmish, these are to be utilized. This is the way, when you come into this world, you live this world, right? Utilizing the gevurim, the limits and the procedures. That's how you live in this world. If you want to avail yourself, you want to be mishtamish with anything in this world, you have to check it out. Whether, in fact, it fits, if it's appropriate, if it stems together with the negative mitzvahs or with the positive mitzvahs. And not only that, it's not just doing the positive mitzvahs or refraining from doing the negative mitzvahs, but also ubikavona sheyiskaven behem. It's also important the intentions that a person has when he does those mitzvahs, which clearly means that in addition to performing mitzvahs, the person also has to have proper intentions during the performance if he wants to achieve the desired results. If you want to accomplish the desired results from the mitzvahs, it's important also that you have the proper kavonis, you have the proper intentions. And he goes on to say, because it was ba'oisa ha'kavona, right? Ba'oisa ha'kavona, shetziva bo'er baruch shemoy, with the very intent that the Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded, right? Ye oisoi ha'poel ha'gufni, v'achumi atzmoi poel shleimois. If a person is mekayim the mitzvahs with proper intention, then he says, the physical and the material action, again, ha'poel ha'gufni, the physical, and v'achumi atzmoi, and the material, poil means the actions, the physical actions, the material actions. Poil shleimus will bring about a state of perfection for man. So a man will be able to achieve some sort of a perfection in this world, right? He'll be able to achieve some sort of a level of perfection in this world if he follows the limitations and the procedures that Kodesh Baruch Hu prescribed for him. In addition, also the proper kavanas, the proper intentions. Uboy, it's with this procedure, right? Following these guidelines, yisatzeim ba'odom mitziyu shleimus umaylo rabo yisalaboy. As a result of this, following this direction, a person will have achieved, as he says, a mitzius of shleimus, a dimension of perfection. Umaylo rabo means great advancement will be incorporated, in fact, into the person, following these guidelines. And will elevate him, mimatsova yashofo. He'll be elevated from his lowly state of this material world, the Yisroim HaMemenu, and will be elevated above it, will be exalted above it. So basically, so what we're being told is that it's possible, right? It's possible doing on the one hand a physical act. Yes, it's a physical act. It's a gashmizi act, right? And yet, by doing a physical act, it's still possible to elevate a person from the lowly state, right, of the material to a higher, which is more spiritual state. How? By following the procedures, he says, and the limitations that Kodesh Baruch Hu set aside for man. And he says, V'ulam, Kodesh Baruch Hu understood. V'ulam hashkifo ha'chokhmo, ho'al yoyno. Kodesh Baruch Hu's divine wisdom actually observed, al kol klolei ha'chisroinis ha'mutboim b'nyona shel odom. Kodesh Baruch Hu understood all the general shortcomings that man has, all the desires, all the natural tendencies. Kodesh Baruch Hu understands all the weaknesses of man. All the weeks of man. And therefore at the same time also, Kodesh Baruch Hu also knows and understands Val Kol Inyone Hamaile Vahayoka Emiti Hamistachamoy. At the same time, even though man has a lot of shortcomings, but man also has the ability, right? All the ability to be able to advance, right? To advance to nobility. Lios royu lishiyeh mizdabik bo yizbor shemoi. Because only by rising above the physical, using the physical to rise above the physical. That's what man is supposed to be doing. Using all the physical attributes, to use it to rise above the physical, and therefore come close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because that's the way you attain the Dekis and Hashem, then Ahana Betubai, and then being able to benefit from all the goodness that Hashem has ready for each and every person. Which means to say quite simply is, perfection of man leads to Dekis, so says the Ramchal. Right? And the more a person is Dovik B'Hashem, the more a person connects to Hashem, the more he receives the goodness out of Hashem. And that actually is the fulfillment of the purpose of creation. Fulfillment of the purpose of creation is to be able, in this physical world, to rise above the physical, come as closely as possible to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and as a result be able to derive all the goodness that Hashem is ready to bestow upon the person. So, now, so being that on the one hand we have a lot of weaknesses, we have a lot of shortcomings, so corresponding to that, to keneged koze, corresponding to all the shortcomings, right? Sidra lo yisdorim, deigbira lo yigvulois, Hashem arranged procedures, and he also established limitations. Asher bishom royosom, if man fulfills them, yisatzim boy, then all of these things will be incorporated within himself. Kol mashit sorech min hamaylo ha-mitzis shizachanu, whatever is required to be able to advance and to elevate oneself, follow these procedures, follow these limitations that Hashem, right, had gave you, that will remove all the barriers that block between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yishulal Minyonoi, that will remove Kol Mashu Achokim and Adekes Va'elyoin. Anything that stands in the way of being allowed to come close to Hashem, follow the guidelines, follow the procedures, use the physical within the guidelines, use the physical within the limitations, then the physical itself will allow you to rise above the physical, coming close to Hashem, and that's which is the ultimate purpose. Because when you come close to Hashem, when you're zoicher, when a person reaches that goal, and by the way, there's no end to how much a person can come closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, but the more that a person comes, succeeds in coming close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, the more he's able to receive the tremendous reward of all the limitless and the endless goodness that Hashem is able to bestow upon the person. So now, Ramchal went on to explain that these results, yes, the person should be able to rise above the physical, it does not happen immediately. Because why? Because after the Aveira, after Adam Rishon, after the first man sinned, so now the entire human species, the entire world of creations, right, as a result, had suffered what's called a Yerida. It's a tremendous downfall, a tremendous spiritual downfall. And as a result, as we know, we already heard, as we see, that came the Gzeir of Misa, that a person would have to die, because by the process of death, that means that the physical body undergoes the purification, which would not be possible had a person not, after the sin of Adam Rishon, the body would not be able to undergo completely, or a high level of physical purification, unless we have the Gzeir of Misa. Had we not had the evil Oysak Gzeir of Gizura Shiyomus, if not for the decree that a man must die, as we mentioned above, right, then Al Yedeh HaMaisa Moela. If there would not be a Gzeir of Misa, it means that a person merely doing the right thing. Doing the right thing means following the limitations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set aside. These are all the negative mitzvahs. Then we have the procedures, all the positive mitzvahs. That alone would have been enough. Hoysa neshama mischazekes. Then the neshama would be able, right, to strengthen itself. The choyshech haguf mischalesh. And the darkness of the body would have been weakened. The body. In other words, the neshama would have been strengthened from the procedures and from the mitzvahs that a person does. And as a result, the darkness of the body, of course, it becomes weakened. But even to the extent, in a way that the body would become completely purified through the neshama. Umisalim shneem, and both would have been elevated al advekus by yizbar shemoi to the highest level of advekus. That would have been true had not been a gzeira of misa. But now, Ulefi, Shagzer Gzura, but now that we do have a Gzer of Misa, Ein Adolanasa Beparachas, therefore, this cannot be achieved. Total purification of the body cannot be achieved at one time. Now, without the process of death, the Nishama is not able to purify the body right away. As would have happened had Adam not sinned, that would have been able to happen. But nevertheless, even in the state that we find ourselves today, but the neshama still is able to strengthen itself on its own, and the body becomes potentially prepared for the ultimate purification by doing the proper thing of this world. Even though, while we are still in this world, the body cannot really actually become fully purified, but what we do in this world enables us, gives us the potential that the next world will come out pure. In other words, it's based upon what we do here in this world. Again, the koinah or the matzav shleim is bekoyach. On this world, the person acquires a state of potential perfection. Potential perfection. Sheyetzei achikach lepoil. Later, it will materialize. Right when? Bizman ha'olam, in the time that is appropriate for it. If a person does not create the potential for purification of his body in this world, it could not materialize in the world to come. In other words, only a person, what a person accomplishes in this world, leads to the ultimate, to realize the fruition of the world to come. So that's really the obligation. That's what we are put here on this world. And this really prepares ourselves for the total perfection which will be in the next world. But it's dependent really on our actions on this world. So he goes on now to explain what we already said. We have procedures and we have limitations. What are the procedures? What are the limitations? So here he says, and hey, I want you to know, Ramchal is now defining the procedures and the limitations that we're discussing. That these are the tools in order a person should be able to reach a potential of perfection, which ultimately will lead him to perfect perfection in the next world. Hasadorim v'agvul Yisrael. What are the procedures and what are the limitations? Hine, hem klala mitzvahs. These are referring to the mitzvahs in general, which are ho'aseyin v'halavin. We have the mitzvahs which are the positive mitzvahs, the mitzvahs which means we are commanded what we have to do. All the mitzvahs, by the way, what we have is ramach mitzvahs aseh, 248 mitzvahs, right? Which these mitzvahs are mitzvahs commandments to do things. And then we have 365, which are negative mitzvahs. Mitzvahs that say what we should not be doing. Together we have 613. It's a combination of the mitzvahs aseh and the mitzvahs loisah, the mitzvahs of doing, the positive and the negative mitzvahs. Now, but each mitzvah has a specific, we have 613, why don't you 613? Why is that few enough? The answer is because there's a specific mission that each mitzvah has in terms of achieving, in elevating the person to a higher level. I should call achas mehen. Each individual mitzvah, mechuvenes el tachlis, it aims towards a goal. It has a goal, it aims towards a goal, the man to acquire and to incorporate it. In other words, each level of advancement is achieved by any mitzvah, each different mitzvah. Each different mitzvah gives a person a different level of advancement and to remove an aspect of darkness. On the other side, advancement into light and to become removed from darkness. And the removal of one of the aspects of darkness and shortcomings. Al yedei poyal hamitzvus esahi, through the action of that positive mitzvah, or holding back, restraining, from not doing a negative mitzvah. So quite clearly what it means. So when a person actively performs a positive mitzvah, he acquires greater perfection. When he refrains from doing a negative mitzvah, he removes himself from one aspect of the shortcomings. So that's what they work in actually together, as a team. The mitzvah sasei and the mitzvah loy sasei. V'ulam. But I want you to know, prat ha-mitzvahs kulam, the specific nature, what's the common nature of all the mitzvahs? The chen prate kol mitzvah mitzvah. The specifics of each individual mitzvah, to each individual mitzvah, you know, the atayang mitzvahs. In the atayang mitzvahs, benevolence, each mitzvah zeroes in on a specific area. Hineheim, he says, look how he points it out. Hineheim, all of these 613, miyusodim, are based ala mitus mitzvayosoi v'nyona shalodam. It's based because Kodesh Baruch Hu understands man's true nature and man's affairs. So therefore, in order that man should be able to live with his nature and with his affairs, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the 613 mitzvahs. These mitzvahs work as a relationship in all of man's life's different aspects that man has. Which means that all of the particulars of the mitzvahs that we have correspond to the many different aspects of a person's world. So in other words, so each different aspect, if a person has in this world, the different mitzvahs correspond to those aspects, he says. And these mitzvahs give man thereby, these, once you have the totality of them, the true elements of perfection was needed, it basically gives everything which is proper again. You have to follow the conditions, you have to follow the positive mitzvahs appropriately, and also the limitations of those mitzvahs. All this is necessary for its completion. Now, Hashem understands, of course, the challenges that man has. It's not that easy. As a result, when a man understands, he says, what he stands to gain? A man doesn't understand what he stands to gain by doing the mitzvahs. That will give him a new knowledge, it will give him a new drive, it will give him a new excitement about doing those mitzvahs. So it says, Ramchal, the Omnam, I want you to understand. The divine wisdom, Shidas Kolze, which knows all of this truthfully. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what man needs in order to grow, and also what detracts from his growth. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that exactly. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what a man needs in order to grow, and what detracts from his growth. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the total makeup of man. In order to understand what promotes growth, what detracts growth, you have to understand the makeup of man. Who can understand the makeup of man? The one who created man. In the same way, in this physical world, a person who invents a car, a telephone, any technical object, the one who invented it is the one who understands all the details best. No one can really understand it better than the one who actually invented it. Because the one who created man understands exactly all the limitations of man, he understands all the genetic makeup of man, all the details of man. But Yodas understands kol inyone habruim kulam. Because the one who knows all matters concerning all creatures. And he also knows what is needed, what man needs to utilize in this world. Akadosh Baruch Hu knows what is to be utilized in this world, because Akadosh Baruch Hu created things in this world that man should be able to use it. Man should be able to use it in a positive way. So in other words, Akadosh Baruch Hu objectively, on the one hand, Akadosh Baruch Hu objectively knows the nature of everything within creation, and also in which manner it is used to help man reach his goal of perfection. So Namela, Hashkifa, Hakoyel, Akadosh Baruch Hu took everything into account, the Cholol Kolam Mitzarech, and incorporated everything that is needed through the mitzvahs. The mitzvah is shetzivonu b'teirosoi, within the mitzvah that Hashem commanded in the Torah, which means simply that based upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge of man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu formulated the mitzvahs so man is able to reach perfection based upon his natural makeup. Kamashin Kosov, as the Pasuk says in Devarim Vov, Hashem commanded us to do all these mitzvahs. Why? For our good. Which means that each and every mitzvah which is in the Torah is for the attainment of a certain aspect of spiritual perfection, pointed out, needed for man's own good. And that's basically the idea of all the mitzvahs. So I'd like to take a look, Rabbi Yisrael, take the sheet, and we'll see some fascinating ideas to complement what we have here from the Ramchal. First thing that we have over here is the Yerachayim in Parshas Ekev. You know, there's a pasuk that says in Parshas Ekev, it says, Kol HaMitzvah. You notice it says Lashon Yochid singular. Kol HaMitzvah, every mitzvah. Kol HaMitzvah, you say Kol HaMitzvahs. All the mitzvahs. Here it says Kol HaMitzvah. All the mitzvah, singular. Kol HaMitzvah, Shanoichi Mitzavcha Hayim Tishmon Lasuis. Which literally, of course it means is, I command you to do all the mitzvahs, Laman Tichyum. Because I want you to live through the mitzvahs, Laman Tichyum. And this is the way you're going to live. You're going to live through the mitzvahs. And the question, of course, is, why does it say mitzvah, Loshen Yochid singular? Kol HaMitzvah. Tzorach Lodas, Ma Mitzvah. Is there any specific mitzvah he's focusing on? Because it says Loshen Yochid. Kol HaMitzvah, one mitzvah. Chaim Kodesh points out this is something that many of us sometimes fall into this trap. As we'll see, basically what he's trying to say is many times when a person feels they're doing quite a number of mitzvahs, he says to himself, well, why have to do all the 613? I'm doing quite a bit. Right? I'm doing quite a bit. As a result, I'm serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu anyway. So why is it so different if I leave out a couple? I do a lot, and I leave out. And the mitzvahs should be good enough. And many times there's many different reasons of rationalization where a person might say to himself, why is it necessary they actually get involved with every mitzvah? So Chaim goes out and points out, Moshe Rabbeinu would say this pasuk. His skill, Moshe Rabbeinu understood human nature. His skill, Loshen Seichel. His skill, believer, is Bnei Yodom. Moshe Rabbeinu understand, Ki Ruach Echod Yateim Kakot Nkarol. There's one driving spirit that even great people fall into that trap, whether they are lower madrega, whether they are greater people. And what is that? There's a yetzer hara there that says you don't have to climb the ladder to the top. Sit up, you climb a little bit. Or you climb halfway. Who says you have to climb to the top? And that is, the way the yetzer hara works, when a person does two or three mitzvahs, kasha tovoyena, when they come his way, so he says to himself, especially if he happens to do the mitzvahs, those mitzvahs that he does it with excitement, and he does it with tremendous simcha. Umagam, especially in Yachziku ba'achas mukol mitzvahs Hashem. If a person really adopts a mitzvah, bitzmidis, he does it continuously. He does it bezrizus, with excitement. Yivoleid b'hem, this may cause, he says, a negative attitude, lest atzel to become negligent b'shara mitzvahs. I'm already doing mitzvahs. I have to do every mitzvah in the same way. Do I have to do all the mitzvahs? Especially, he says, umagam, and even more so, this idea, right, penetrates the mind. Especially if a person does a lot of mitzvahs, to become right away filled, right, by doing these few mitzvahs. He says, this plague is something that spreads all over. Befrat, especially, those people who do follow B'teres Hashem, right? So they many times have the attitude, listen, I'm doing already enough. There are some mitzvahs that are perceived to be, these are the not so important mitzvahs. People have in their mind where they decide which are important mitzvahs, which are not that important. So these so-called unimportant mitzvahs, they push it aside. Because they say to us, look, I'm learning a lot of Torah, I'm doing a lot of mitzvahs. So maybe so these lowly mitzvahs, which in his mind, which he rationalizes, not that important. Next paragraph. Novi Hashem is Moshe Rabbeinu. But Chachoisa Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Musar, because Parshas Eikir is part of the Devarim, which is all Musar. The Yomar says, Kol HaMitzvah, all mitzvahs are one mitzvah. When we think about 613 mitzvahs, they are not 613 separate mitzvahs. It's like one body. Kol HaMitzvah, all 613 mitzvahs are one mitzvah. Kol HaMitzvah, when Moshe Rabbeinu says Kol HaMitzvah, he's not talking about one mitzvah. Yiches, he's relating L'Klolis HaTorah L'Mitzvachas. Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to tell us that the entire Torah is like one mitzvah. The Tziva HaKula, because he won't command that all of them. In order we should not make a mistake in saying, maybe it's enough, you can pick and choose. Now he goes very beautifully and explains. What's the Hemshech of the Pasuk? The Pasuk continues with Laman Tichyun. Right, Laman Tichyun, in order that you live, in order that you survive. Chaim HaKadosh says the following words. Venosan Tam. The Pasuk continues to give you a reason, She'enol of Tshuva, a reason that you can't refute, why all the mitzvahs are equally important and you can't pick and choose. And what's the reason? Laman Tichyun Ubosem. It is through these mitzvahs, right, that you live, Ubosem, you'll enter the land of Eretz Yisrael. Fine. But what, in relation to what we're talking about, what is the Kavan of the Pasuk Laman Tichyun? Chaim HaKadosh goes on, let me just explain it first and we'll see it inside. The truth is that you realize 613 corresponds exactly to how many limbs, right, and how many veins we have in the human body. There are 248 mitzvahs, positive mitzvahs, that correspond to the 248 limbs that we have in the human body. And then we have Shisa, Mitzvah Slayza, 365 negative mitzvahs. Those are against or correspond to the 365 Gidim, which are called the 365 veins. Now, Rachaim tells us that each mitzvah corresponds to a specific eva, to a specific limb, to a specific joint in the human body. Which means to say that if I default in a certain mitzvah, it means that there's a spiritual deficiency in the human body in that particular limb that corresponds. Now we ourselves are not able to know exactly which mitzvah corresponds exactly to which eva. But if we have 248 mitzvahs, we have 248 evorim, limbs. Each mitzvah corresponds to a specific eva. You take away one mitzvah, you have just dislocated that particular aver. Because the Chaim HaKadoshim said the following example. Means to say is that the Torah corresponds to the human body, tichyun, to your life. Al derech oimorim zal, this is referring to what we are told in the Zohar. Ki biyodam yesh remach evorim, a man has 248 limbs, vishasa gidim, and he has 365 veins. Who connect them corresponding to that? But the Vayar Hashem came a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mitzvah lishmor, you have shasa mitzvah sloisa, 365 mitzvah sloisa, the negative mitzvahs, and remach mitzvah say 248 mitzvahs say. Now, says the Yerachaim, let's take a look at the human body. Person, right? First in the human body, you say to a person, say, you know what? You know, you have so many different limbs, you have so many different veins. How about let me cut off one of your fingers, right? And I'll pay you for it. I'll cut one of your fingers. And look, you can survive. You have enough. You have enough over there. A person understands that if you're missing any limb in the human body, it's not you missing one, then the entire body is always considered balmum. This person is already a balmum, lacking a neighbor. A person is not, even if you're able to survive, a person is not so easily, he understands the importance of each individual labor. A person understands that what, that he needs each and every labor in the human body. So the same as you understand, you need each, why? Because each is not isolated. The human body is a total human body, it's a complete body. It's made up of a lot of evorim. But if one evor is missing, the entire body is a balmum. There's a deficiency in the entire human being. So in the same way the person understands when it comes to his human body, he's not willing to give up a neighbor and say, I have enough with the others, let me give up this one. The same way, all the mitzvahs of the Torah is the same way. Because each mitzvah corresponds to an aver of the human body. And the same as you understand that you're not ready to give up one aver, one limb of the human body, and say, I have enough with the others, the same thing. All the mitzvahs of the Torah are also the same. If you miss one mitzvah, if you pull out one mitzvah, just throw it away, it's like a deficiency in the entire Torah. Like the entire human body suffers a deficiency by taking away a neighbor. Nini Yishayah, he says, Odom. Let a person imagine. Bevoi, he says, Al Eivor Oigid Echot Eza Mechush. For example, use another example. Let's say one Eivor is in pain. The person stubs his toe. So what's he going to say? I don't care about my toe. All the other, I feel very good. One toe hurts you. The entire human being just doesn't feel okay. You had a headache, you don't feel okay. If a person has a broken arm, and it's painful, his entire being, his entire well-being is affected. He's not going to say, well, it's just a broken arm, but everything else is okay. Any part of the human body, if it's not functioning properly, it affects the entire human body. So he goes on to say, if a person would imagine, if he has, on a particular vein, right, or on a limb, Eze Mechush, he has some sort of an ailment, or Imachoy, for some pain, the Yitzhak Libra, he begins to cry out, we're talking about when it's really painful. He says, Oy Bavoy, he says, Mumachoybo, will we receive consolement, will be consoled by saying, what do you care about one Ava? So the toe hurts you, right? You have a problem with the heart, but everything else is okay. Right? You have a problem with the brain, everything else is okay. A problem with the earring, but everything else is okay. Will a person be ready to accept it? Of course not. So Hayim Yikabu Manu Letza'okoy, will he accept? Will he accept, he says, consolement or an answer? Right? When he cries out in pain, then Moilo, if somebody will say to him, what are you crying out? Why are you crying out? Because Baruch Hu gave you 248 limbs, so 247 are still okay. So one is not so okay. You have Ramaz Shalemim, you still have 247 that are complete. So if one part of the 248, right, turns sick, right, they'll tell him, it's not appropriate, you should not make such a fuss over it. Now we know, of course, it's not going to be acceptable. A person, right, if he has pain in any part of his body, right, his entire body is in pain. So v'zeh dimyon, that's exactly the example of shmiras hamitzvos. That's exactly the example of shmiras hamitzvos shem yuchodim, because each mitzvah corresponds keneged oivorim v'agidim. And when a person is oivor, when a person is mavatel a certain mitzvah, or he does an aveira, namelo, the pain goes correspondingly into that aver. He says, "Kshe'odam oivel mavatel achas mehena, yafil hakeev the pain that the shekenegdoi go to the corresponding eva in the goof of the human body bagidim." Ukeshem, and therefore the same way, she'ein shuva. There is no answer. It's not acceptable answer to say the rest of my body is healthy. Brius Ramaz, I have 247 that's healthy. That does not help you take away the pain. If a person has pain in one part of the body, it hurts them regardless of the other chalokim are okay. You still feel the pain. You have to feel the pain of missing one mitzvah also. You have to feel the exact same idea. He says, 247 mitzvahs will not make up. He says, Ramaz asay lechesroin ho'echod, to the chesron of one tashrum lamei. So that's what the Pesuk said, by the way, leman tichyun, skipping a little bit to them so we can save more time. That's leman tichyun. Kol ha-mitzvah, all the mitzvahs that are one mitzvah. Why? Leman tichyun, because it corresponds to your living life. All the mitzvahs correspond leman tichyun. Look at your own life. Look in the chiyus of your own life, that when you have pain in one part of the body, it's not going to be a consolation that the rest of the body is okay. But if you have pain, your pain is whatever it is. You feel that pain. Regardless that everything else is okay. The same thing with all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Lacking one mitzvah, the pain is felt throughout the whole area. Because why? It's all one goof. The Torah is one goof, and all corresponds similar to the entire human body. And that's why the Torah is called a mitzvah loshin yochid. All the mitzvahs of the Torah are considered to be one. And we can understand it for what Ramchal Tak has said in Derech Hashem. That Kishwabi gave us 630 mitzvahs, but each mitzvah, right, has a mission. Each mitzvah, in order for the person to survive totally, or if the person should be able to survive here in this physical world, Kishwabi gave all the different mitzvahs, and each mitzvah, right, so you can't say I have enough, because you're going to miss the mission of that particular mitzvah, what it has to do and what it has to achieve in the role of your life as a human being. So now, the fascinating thing, we learn here the Ramchal Derech Hashem, and we have here the other sefer, right? Mesilas Yisharim Perech Avod. These are really words, you know, you see from the Ramchal, you have an idea of how the Ramchal perceives the greatness of a human being. It's something which is unimaginable, so you don't see some of the words of the Mesilas Yisharim Perech Avod, because Ramchal actually in Derech Hashem, in a certain sense, he tells us, right, that man, of course, in this world, has to undergo a process of Misa, because only through the process of Misa of dying will a person be able to purify himself fully, right? And when he comes into the next world. But yet, look at the Mesilas Yisharim says, how great a man is able to elevate himself and the tremendous things that he can achieve while he still is on this world. Let's take a look over here. This is Mesilas Yisharim Perek Chavov. Many of Bala Musa quotes this particular Mesilas Yisharim. Look what he says. Vihine ho'ish ha-miskadesh. And these words have to be reviewed many, many times. Just remember, because it's the mind-boggling things. You see the Lashonis, what Ramchal uses over here. A person who sanctifies himself, who lives a life of holiness. Vihine ho'ish ha-miskadesh b'kidushas boiroi. A person who sanctifies himself, right, with the kedusha of his creator, afil ma'is of agashmiim, even therefore his physical acts, chayzim liyos in yoni kedusha mamish. There's no such thing which is non-kedusha. A person who lives a life of sanctity, even his material things, even his physical things, everything becomes kedusha. Bisimone, I'll give you a simon, I'll give you a sign. Achilas kochim, right, when a person sacrificed, right, you brought a sacrifice, you brought a korban, right? A korban is fully kodesh. And what are you eating? You're doing eating, you do a physical act of eating. What are you eating? You're eating basar of kedusha. And this is a mitzvah saseh, there's a mitzvah saseh, there's a positive mitzvah to eat, which is a physical thing. And what are you eating? You're eating kochim. You're eating a holy basar of the korban, which itself is a mitzvah saseh. For Omru Zachronim Lavrocha, Chazal have said that Koyhanim Oichlam Mubalim Ischapim. The Koyhanim, by eating, bring atonement to the Bailim. The Koyhanim will eat the meat of the korban that a person brought. What is he doing? He's eating. And you see that doing eating, which is a physical act, it is a material act, you see the tremendous thing that's able to achieve. Now look what he says further. HaKodosh HaDobuk Tomek Lolikov. A holy man who is connected, right, who's connected continuously to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the nafshoi mishalechas ben hamuskolius hamitiyos, and a person uses his seichel in the truth way. What is using the seichel in the truth way? Bahavas boiroi v'irosoi. In his mind, he is connected with loving Hashem, right, and fearing Hashem. That person who lives his life that way, it's like he's in Olam Haba while he's in this world. Again, it's possible to live on this world and you're in Olam Haba. A person whose mind is connected with a harvest Hashem, his mind is connected with Yiras Hashem. Not only that, v'nei ish kozehu atzmai nechshav kemishkon kemigdash kemizbeach. We think about the Beis HaMikdash, you are a Beis HaMikdash. You think about a Mizbeach, you are a Mizbeach. The same way that on the Mizbeach you offer korbanos, when you eat b'kedusha, it's like a korban is being offered on the Mizbeach. You yourself become a Mishkan. You yourself become a Mikdash, you become a Mizbeach. Look on top. Finishing lines. Kein hamachol v'hamishte. So to the eating and drinking. Sho'ish ha'kodesh oichol. When a holy man eats, it's not stam eating. He elevates, first of all, the food. He elevates the food. Iluhu lamachol ahir. He elevates that food to the food and to the drink. Ulamishtahu. Kilu nikrav al gada hamizbeach mamish. It's half of a fellow. A man can eat and drink. And what is he doing? It's like bringing a carbon in your shalayim in the Mokem Amidosh. The same way as you bring a carbon, you can sit here, eat and drink, right? Eat and drink like a holy man, like a holy person, and it's mamish as if you are makrev on the mizbeach. The ruha inyan is that's exactly what Chazal told us, Mesechtes Ksubos. Maybe beidon the Talmud Chacham. The person gives a gift to a Talmud Chacham, it's kilo hikra bikurim. Bikurim, of course, are the first fruits that a person will bring to the Beis HaMikdash. We have no Beis HaMikdash today. But if you give a gift to a Talmud Chacham, it's like giving a gift, like bringing Bikurim. How is that possible? Because the Talmud Chacham, he's a Beis HaMikdash. Talmud Chacham is a Mizbeach. Bechein Omru. Chazal also said, Yemale Groinim Shel Talmidei Chachamim Yayin. By giving wine to a Talmud Chacham. It doesn't have to be dafka wine, but just as a moshel. It's B'mokim Nesachim. When we had a Mizbeach, we used to pour, right? One of the servants in the Beis HaMikdash was to pour wine, Yayin, on the Mizbeach. We don't have it. Pouring wine, it's a moshel. Pouring wine onto a Talmud Chacham, giving wine to a Talmud Chacham. What you're doing is, you're contributing to the Mizbeach. It's like pouring wine on the Mizbeach. The Ein Hadover Hazeh, he says. The idea is, what does it mean? Give wine to a Talmud Chacham. The idea is that the Talmud Chacham should become like someone like, who's guzzling. He said, no. Ein Hadover Hazeh, Shiva Talmud Chacham, he says, Lehutim Achra Chilo Vashtir. Does not mean that a Talmud Chacham, okay, I'm a Mizbech, let me eat and drink a lot. You know, a lot of carbonus is a good thing, yeah? A lot of carbonus on Mizbech is a good thing. So Talmud Chacham says, I'm Mizbech. Maybe it's good to eat a big breakfast. Maybe it's good to eat a lot. No, that's not my carbonus, says Ramchal. The fact that I said that the Achil of Ishtir and Talmud Chacham, right, is like being macro on Mizbech, does not mean Talmud Chacham should be attracted to eating. That's not what I mean. It's not the idea that he should be loyal, he should be attracted. He should be attracted or addicted after Achil of Ishtir. Chal Visholem. She Yimali Groinam Kimali Tesagargoram. Like someone who likes to write, someone who is a drinker. Someone likes to drink. Fill up the Talmid Chachamim. Fill up the throats of the Archiv of Yayin. Filling up the throats of Talmid Chachamim Yayin is not like the one who drinks at a bar. Eloha inyan hu lefi akavonish zechati. What we mean is, ki Talmid Chachamim, the Talmid Chachamim ha-gdoshim medachechem, medachechem. Talmid Chachamim who are the ways, our ways of holiness. V'chol ma'asem, hinehem mamish kemidish kemizbeach. They are mamish, he said. Look what he says. Not doime. Say mamish kemidish kemizbeach. Why? Because the shechin is upon them. What is the Beis HaMikdash? V'osu imigdash yishchanti b'sorchah. The whole Maila Beis HaMikdash is to bring the Shekhinah. They have the Shekhinah. So they have the Shekhinah, so they are exactly Mamish, Kemigdash, Kemoishoy, Seshoy, Bemigdash, Mamish. But the same way, that's the same idea which you find here by the Talmid Chachamim. Well, Rabbi, let me tell you the following. Let's conclude. There's a Yid by the name of Reb Hillel. he was in his 80s. He's living Yerushalayim. And one night he had a dream which really puzzled him. And the idea was, it was sort of unusual for him to be distressed by a dream, because he never really gave credence to dreams. And as a matter of fact, he never even told anybody about his dreams. And here there was a particular dream that really bothered him. So he meets his granddaughter the next afternoon in one of the streets of Yerushalayim, and he tells her about his anxiety. And he says the following. What was his dream? He said, my dream is that I dreamt that I had died. And I was being judged, he says, in the Bezin Shalmal, I was being judged in the heavenly court. He says, so this is where I saw my dream. I'm already in the next world. My neshama went up there. And he said, they put me on one side of a huge scale. He said, and I was weighing it down unfavorably. It was all against me. Suddenly, he says, they put a group of people on the other side of the scale. I asked the heavenly court, who are these people and why did they come here? And the answer came, you don't know them, but they came to help you. And in my dream, I was able just to see as the weight of these people, they actually tipped the scale in my favor, and then I woke up. This is my dream. So Reb Hillel did not tell anyone about the dream, and nor did the granddaughter ever mention it to anybody. The Meister was very scared. Because why? Because the dream indicated that at least, if nothing else, the grandfather was thinking about death. He was already in his 80s, and something's on his mind. And that's what he's talking about it. And there was something that she found difficult to face. The Meister, he became frail. He was in good health. And the family were actually looking forward to a gathering in America, because the rest of the family, a lot of the family, different parts of the world, to attend the wedding of a granddaughter who was getting married. But then 3 months after the dream, he becomes seriously ill, and Masi passes away. 3 months after the dream. So now his children from New York, he had children in England, he had children in Switzerland, he had children in Eretz Yisrael, so they gathered to Sheshiva in Yerushalayim, because that's where he lived. So many, many people come to be Menachem Oval, right? They come to... On the fifth day of the Shiva, a stranger comes in. He said his name is Lichtenstein. And he says he's coming from Germany. And he told him the following story. He said, when Reb Hillel passed away, he was known to be a dignified Talmud Chacham, but he had a special talent of teaching children. He had a remarkable way of teaching children. So after World War II, he actually settled in Fürth in Germany. Fürth happened to be on the southeastern part of Germany, because he was brought there by an invitation of a very choshev rov. His name was David Kahane Shapiro, big Talmud Chacham. And he started a new community. It was after World War II. So Reb Hillel Lemaiseh got married, and he supported the family, became a traveling tutor. Traveling to was because there was no schools at that time after World War II. So he traveled from place to place to tutor Jewish children. So there was outlying communities where there were no yeshivas, there was no day schools. And so local leaders of the community, whatever Jewish community they had, small Jewish community they had, they would hire him. They should come two or three times a week. They had to teach them a little bit of Hebrew, learn some Chumash, learn some Tanakh, maybe sometimes a Mishnah, maybe sometimes some Gemara, and so on and so forth. So Reb Hillel, this was his schedule. Basically, he traveled every day from Fürth to one town or another. He spent numerous hours with his Talmidim. Every student was treated differently, meaning he taught them differently, based upon the motto of Mishlei, where it says, Chanoich l'naro pidakoi. You train a child according to his way. Some people are more advanced, so you teach them higher. Some are less advanced. Some have an affinity, right, of learning this particular subject. Some have an affinity to learn a different subject. So he would teach each child according to what he felt is the best way to teach that particular child. But also at the same time, he interjected a lot of your Shemayim, Ahavas Hashem, right, in terms of, and giving them a real understanding and the cheshivas and the longing to want to perform mitzvahs. So one day after particulars, and he was successful, he was making his Talmidim more and more formal. So one day after a particular session with a Talmud, with a student, right, who was soon to become Bar Mitzvah, this particular boy who was supposed to become Bar Mitzvah, the father comes in and complains to Reb Hillel, "You're teaching my child too much. My child wants to become more religious, and we're against that. Teach him too much." So Reb Hillel said, "I'm only teaching him what he wants to learn. He loves to learn. He wants to learn. And that's what I'm teaching him." So the father said, "I don't care what he wants, but I'm paying you. And if you teach him what I want you to teach him." So Reb Hillel said very quickly, and he said to him, "Do you want to have Gentile grandchildren?" The words just really struck him like in a bolt. And he was thinking to himself, the father, by Mr. Boy, he was saying to himself, it's bad enough that his son was growing up with any formal Jewish education, and a minimum of Jewish friends where they're living over here. It's bad enough, he says, that the father and mother, meaning he himself, that father and mother, were not showing any living example of anything Jewish. And now that the child did want some more meaning in his life, am I going to take it away from him? So the father agreed, and he relented, and he allowed Reb Hillel to continue teaching that child. Mr. Lichten says, "I am that child." Mr. Lichten said, "That's why I came here to pay the Shiva call here. Because I was that child that your father, Reb Hillel, was able to convince my father to allow him to continue teaching me. I want you to know I'm an observant Jew today only because of your father. My children follow my ways, and my wife and I are all proud of them." Reb Hillel's granddaughter overheard the story over there, and in mind's eye she was seeing. I understand the dream. In the heavenly court, he says, they were bringing people. They were bringing people on the other side of the scale. These were all the people that were healed when he went around tutoring and went around teaching. And therefore, giving Jewish education to those children growing up, getting married. So you realize all of this is being accrued. All of this and this investment. Now, when you do something, when you're mekayem of another person, when you have a positive influence on someone, so all like the success and everything that goes down, future generations, everything is accrued to you as the first person has been doing it. And therefore, we realize to ourselves and we understand to ourselves that any Rebbe, if you're a Rebbe, any teacher, or even a person, if you have a positive influence on a person, you realize that your accomplishments outweighs those of all other professions, because what you do is for all generations, and no human scale, he says, can measure that. It's a scale in Shemayim.